السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, of the miracles of creation, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fashioned our father Adam from turab, from dust, from sand, from teen, He then created a ruh, and He blew this ruh into Adam. And Allah says, وَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, that Allah blew His ruh, the meaning of His ruh, He created a ruh and He ascribed it to Himself, like His house. He says, my house and my servant, it's not the ruh of Allah, meaning Allah's ruh. But Allah created a ruh, He blew it into Adam alayhi salam. This ruh made Adam a living, breathing human. But it didn't just make him living and breathing. It gave him more than just physical life. The ruh gave him spiritual life as well. The ruh gave him a yearning for more. The ruh gave him a purpose for living. The ruh gave him something we call a conscience. The ruh that was breathed into Adam is not just a physical ruh. It is also a ruh of spirituality. Now, what has this got to do with our talk of valley of despair and despair and sins and all of this? It is directly relevant to our talk for a simple reason. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, He created us in the best of all forms. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. And a part of that perfection is as follows. Listen to this, it's very simple. When you do what Allah wants you to do, your physical and spiritual lives will flourish. And when you turn away from what Allah wants you to do, your physical and your spiritual lives will not flourish. Rather, they will wither away and they will exterminate. And this is exactly what the Quran tells us. That the one who obeys the commandments of Allah, that is the person who has genuine life. Life of the heart and life of the soul. Life of the body and life of the ruh. And the one who turns away from the remembrance of Allah, the one who turns away from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? That person's ruh, that person's qalb, in Arabic the heart, it withers away and it exterminates. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this explicitly as the hardening of the heart. When the heart and soul is good, the body will be good. And when the heart and soul withers away, the body withers away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, istajibu lillahi walil rasul, hearken and obey to the call of Allah and His Messenger. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ, when they call you to that which will give you your haya, يُحْيِيكُمْ, when you listen to Allah and His Messenger, your heart becomes alive. And when you turn away from Allah and His Messenger, what happens? Your heart starts to wither away. Not your physical heart, your spiritual heart. Not your physical pulsating heart that the doctor can check. Your qalb of the ruh. Your qalb that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَى. Verily, there is a flesh inside of the body. When that flesh is good, the body is good. And when that flesh is evil, the body is evil. And that flesh, he said, is the heart. And the flesh that is good is the heart. And the flesh that is evil is the heart. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that verily Allah does not look at your outer bodies, nor does He look at your facial features. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَى أَجْسَامِكُمْ. Pause here before I move on and finish the hadith. Our Prophet is saying, Allah doesn't care how you look. Allah doesn't care about your facial features. Allah doesn't care about your outer dress. How much do we care about our outer dress? How much do we spend pruning ourselves? How much money do we spend on our clothes? How much time do we spend in front of the mirror? How much time do we spend shampooing and conditioning and whatnot? And yet our Prophet is saying, Allah doesn't care about how you look. Allah doesn't care about what your facial features are. What does Allah care about? وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَإِلَىٰ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. What Allah cares about is your qalb. And what Allah cares about is your good deeds that you're doing. Allah does not care about how you look, about your facial features, about the color of your skin. What Allah cares about is your heart and the actions that you do. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَإِلَىٰ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. And therefore, brothers and sisters, what happens when we don't care about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares about? The heart begins to wither away. And the withering away of the heart, you know what the Arabic is called? It is called قَسْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ. It is called the hardening of the heart. It is called the hardening of the heart. And when the heart hardens, when the heart becomes putrid, when the heart solidifies, this leads to repercussions. This leads to problems in this world and the next. And our Lord mentions the hardening of the heart in many verses in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. After this, meaning something that the Bani Israel had done, your hearts became hard until they were harder than a rock. Until they were harder than a rock. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another nation in the Quran that was punished. And Allah says, as a part of their punishment, what did we do? وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. As a part of their punishment, Allah said, we made their hearts hard. Think about that. To punish them, what did Allah do? He made their hearts hard. Now, the hardening of the heart is a disease. Frankly, it is the worst disease. What are the symptoms of that disease? How do we know we have that disease? I'll give you some of the symptoms. And if you find yourself having one or more of these symptoms, then realize that you probably have this disease of the hardening of the heart. And the advice is directed to myself, first and foremost, before all of you. The first symptom of a hard heart is to simply not care about what Allah and His Messenger have told you to do. You just don't care. It's haram, so what? Allah told me not to do it, yeah, whatever. To simply give up caring about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have told you to do, that is of the worst symptoms of a hard heart. Another symptom of a hard heart is to not enjoy the blessings and not enjoy the pleasure of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're praying and you're more worried about the latest Twitter updates that you're missing in those 5 minutes, and your brain is preoccupied with your exam tomorrow, and you're just rushing through the actions, monotonous, boring, dry, if your salah is simply how you spend 3 minutes, then wallahi, this is of the worst symptoms of a hard heart. If you don't enjoy standing in front of Allah, if you don't enjoy doing wudu, if you're not excited for the blessings of wudu, that your Prophet will recognize you because of your wudu. On the day of judgment, you will be able to drink from Kawthar because of your wudu. If you're not thinking along those lines, and wudu becomes just splish, splash, splash, and that's it, then you're not enjoying the ibadah. And this means your heart is hard. If you open up the Quran, you listen to the Quran, and it's not moving your heart, you're not pulsating. Allah says, literally, this is a verse in the Quran, that the believers are those who, when the verses of the Quran are recited, their iman goes up. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. If you're not enjoying worship, then this is of the worst symptoms of a hard heart. Of the symptoms of a hard heart is to commit sins without any guilt. Now, committing sins is a problem, but frankly, all of us commit sins. But a heart that is alive, when it commits a sin, and it does commit sins, even good hearts commit sins, it will feel repentance, regret, remorse, anxiety. When a heart commits a sin and it feels no pain, this is of the worst symptoms of a hard heart. Of the symptoms of a hard heart, and this is especially relevant in our times, of the symptoms of a hard heart is to be selfish about yourself and not care about the rest of the ummah. If you are disconnected from the reality of the ummah, if you go to sleep at night and you couldn't care less about the massacre that just happened in Syria, about the Rohingya Muslims of Burma who are being torched to death, villages after villages. If you're not thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings you have living in these lands, and you're disconnected from the reality of the ummah, and all you're worried about is your connection to your iPhone is not good in your particular classroom. You don't have the latest upgrade computer. If your problems are clearly what is now called first world problems, and you have no reality of the status of the ummah, then wallahi, this is a symptom of a hard heart. Whereas the soft heart, it is connected to the ummah. As our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this ummah is like a body. When one limb is hurting, if your finger got slashed, if your little pinky got slashed, wallahi, you couldn't sleep at night. You would be in pain and suffering. And that's exactly what our Prophet ﷺ said. إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضْوٌ تَدَاعَ لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِسَائِرِ وَالْعُمَّةِ. When one organ is in distress, the whole body is in pain and making dua to cure this organ. So if you find yourself not even caring, not even keeping up with the news, it's not even a concern to you what the ummah is going through, then wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, let me put it straight to you, your heart has become hard. These are all symptoms, and there are more than these symptoms. And the fact of the matter is that the hardness of the heart, our scholars have called it the mother of all disease. It's like the HIV in our times. If you have HIV, it's like all other sins or all other evils, all other sicknesses can come to you. You don't have a defense mechanism. And this is exactly what the hardness of the heart is. You don't have a defense mechanism. Now, what are the factors that make the heart hard? What are some of the things that cause this disease? Again, there are many and time is limited and we need to get to the main point or the main thrust of this lecture. But this is an important topic. What are some of the symptoms or the causes, of this hardness of the heart? Number one, turning away from the remembrance and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, فَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَى. Whoever turns away from my dhikr, from my remembrance, that person shall live a miserable and wretched life. Whoever turns away from my worship, that person will live a miserable life. Number two, not living in accordance with the laws of Islam, ignoring the sharia. Not caring about your lifestyle and what is in conformity and what is not in conformity. Allah says in the Quran, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. Because they broke our laws and our covenant. Allah is talking about another nation. They didn't listen to Allah. So what happened? لَعَنَّاهُمْ, we cursed them. وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. And we made their hearts hard. And of the greatest abandonments of our sharia, of the greatest ways you can show that you don't care about the sharia, is to abandon the 5 daily prayers. Any Muslim who does not pray his salah is not a Muslim. This is the bare minimal sign of Islam. And whoever has left the salah, as Umar ibn al-Khattab said, this is not me speaking. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, whoever leaves the salah, he has no share of Islam in his heart. He doesn't even have a percentage. He doesn't even have 1%. La حَظَّ لَهُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. He has no share of Islam, the one who leaves his salah. Of the causes of the hard heart is to make your sins habitual and a part of your routine. You see, all of us commit sins. I commit sins, you commit sins. But when a sin becomes a daily habit, when a sin becomes a part of your daily routine, then obviously you will have no regret for that sin. You will have no remorse for that sin. It will become a part and parcel of who you are. And our Lord mentions, and the Prophet ﷺ explained in the Quran, the verse of the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, that there is a darkness in their hearts because of what they do. And our Prophet ﷺ said, this darkness is the effect of the sin. When a person commits a sin, it leaves a blot on his heart. And as he continues to commit sins, his heart becomes darker and darker and darker. Of the causes of a hardness of the heart, and listen to this, especially our youth of our times, of the causes of the hardness of the heart is to follow every single bodily desire. to do whatever your body wants and to ignore the calling of the spirit and the ruh and the soul. You see, our body has rights over us, but so does our spirit, so does our ruh. And whenever we become a slave to the body, it will be at the expense of the ruh. When we're slaves to the jism, to the jasad, the ruh is going to suffer. And therefore, when we start following every single desire we have, whatever we want, that is what becomes halal. Whatever we don't want, that's what is haram. Then this will cause an effect on the heart, and the heart will become hard. And the final point that we'll mention before we move on to the main talk, really, which is the gist of the despair issue. The final point that we'll mention about the causing of the hardness of the heart is wasting too much time. Wasting too much time. Excessive entertainment. In our times, Facebook, Twitter, the internet, watching movies, just doing, wasting hours and hours without any purpose. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iyyakum wadh-dhahik, fa inna adh-dhahika tumeetu al-qulub." I caution you about laughing too much. Now listen to this, laughing is halal. Who said laughing is haram? Of course it's halal. Laughing is halal. And our Prophet ﷺ would smile all the time and laugh as well. And there are many instances in the seerah where Aisha and others say, he laughed until I could see his molar teeth. He laughed until I could see all of his teeth. Laughing is sunnah. Smiling is sunnah. But an excessive amount of laughing, not smiling, you can never smile too much. Make sure you understand. Smile, it's sunnah. All of you are looking at me, it's sunnah. Smile, everybody smile. Smile, it's sunnah. Okay, you can never smile too much, but laughing is a different matter. You can laugh too much. Why? Because when you laugh too much, you forget about the seriousness of life as well. Laughter is like salt. You add it to the food just the right amount. If you were to pour the salt canister on the food, what's gonna happen? You've destroyed the food. The food loses its purpose. Laughter is like this salt. You add it, sprinkle it here and there, as our Prophet ﷺ did. But when you are too much involved in laughing, and by the way, this is an extension, laughing in our times is wasting time. Just watching TV for no, without any purpose in mind, spending hours on the internet. This is literally killing time. And when you kill time, your heart is affected. And when your heart is affected, it hardens and it dies. And that's exactly what our Prophet ﷺ said. I warn you about wasting too much time. I warn you about laughing too much. That's what he said. إِيَّاكُمْ وَكَثْرَةُ الضَّحِكِ. Why? لِأَنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبِ. Because laughing too much causes the hearts to die. It's exactly a causal linkage. Laughing too much causes the hearts to die. So therefore, make sure we tone down those LOLs. Make sure we tone down all, and who actually laughs out loud when we write LOL? It's become totally meaningless. But the purpose is, when you're wasting time without any goal, when you're just sitting there and hours go by, your heart is going to suffer. Now, out of all of these, there are two main factors. I mentioned them, I want to reiterate. There are two main factors that causes the heart to become hard. Number one is to leave the sharia, leave the laws of Islam. And number two is to engage in committing sins. And I want to conclude this talk by mentioning some of the problems of committing sins. Some of the issues that happen when we engage in sins. And that is the focal point of this talk. They want me to talk about the effects of sins and the despair that brings about. And apparently this is all dreary stuff because the next session is the positive stuff, correct? That's what I understood, right? The next session will be the uplifting stuff. So they gave me the negatives, which is a part of our religion, by the way. Our religion is what? Warn them of the evil consequences and give them glad tidings of the good consequences. And of the names of our Prophet ﷺ are Bashir and Nadir. And Bashir means what? What does Bashir mean? The one who gives good news. And what is Nadir? The one who warns about an impending doom. So, this half-half split is actually very Islamic, where one section goes and tells you the negative, that's what they gave me, to warn you about the negatives, but as long as you follow with the positive. So whoever is attending now has got to attend the positives as well, after an hour inshallah, right? The next half also has to be attended. Now, sins and the despair that is brought about by sins. What are some of the effects of committing sins? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مِنْ بَعْدِ نُوحٍ. How many are the generations we have destroyed after Nuh? وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ بِذُنُوبِ عِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا. And Allah is enough to count and be aware of all of the sins of His servant. Notice how He links between the destruction of the nations and between committing sins. How many are the nations we have destroyed? And Allah is enough to count all of their sins. Destruction in this world and in the next is linked causally to sins. And think about it. For what reason was our father Adam expelled from Jannah? And for what reason are we his children toiling on this earth except because of one sin that he committed? Why was Iblis, who was at one point in time the noble leader of the jinns and at one time a chosen creature, why is he now despised and accursed? Except because of one sin that he did in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for what reason did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flood the earth to wipe away the entire civilization except for one group on an ark? Except for one group on an ark because they committed the sin of shirk. And look around you. How many are the mighty and powerful civilizations? Many of them, their remnants are visited to this day. Where are they now? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. Each group we took because of his sins. فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. Each group we dealt with because of his sins. Some of them Allah says, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاصِبًا. Some of them Allah says, we sent a thunderstorm. Others we sent a severe wind. Others were swallowed up with this earth. And yet others we drowned them. Such grand scale destructions of entire nations. Allah Azza wa Jal has linked it directly with the committing of sins. And even that famous stone on earth, which is the holiest stone for us, and that is the Hajr al-Aswad. Our Lord tells us, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, that the Hajr al-Aswad came down from Jannah, and it was as white as snow. It is a rock from Jannah. This is what we believe. Our Prophet ﷺ said, that stone was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam from Jannah. And what did our Prophet ﷺ say? It used to be as white as snow, but it became corrupted, and it became dark because of the sins of men. That white stone of Jannah could not stand the sins of this earth. And that too became corrupted because of the sins of men. This is exactly what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So what are some of the consequences of committing sins? And again, time is of the essence. I'll only list four or five, inshaAllah ta'ala. Of the consequences of committing sins. Of the consequences of committing sins, number one, it removes from our hearts the majesty and glory that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For truly, if we had that majesty and respect, we would not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He who commits sins diminishes the majesty that is due to Allah. And Ibn al-Qayyim says, if the only punishment for committing sins was that it removes from the heart the majesty that is due to Allah, that would have been enough of a punishment. If we don't respect Allah, would we disobey our parents in front of their face? And if somebody did, how would that son be considered? Would we disobey the police right in front of their eyes? When we see the police, what happens? We slow down automatically. We're driving a car, we slow down. We don't want to pass the speed limit, right? In our schools, in our universities, our professors, our teachers are right there. Would we do something to get them angry? We know the consequences. And it is human nature that in front of authority, you bow down. In front of authority, you humble yourself. Well, how about the one who is the ultimate authority? How about Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? The more we recognize who is Allah, the less we will commit sins. And that's exactly what Allah says. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ. They did not respect Allah the way that they deserve to respect. The way that Allah is deserving of that respect. And this is of the greatest catastrophes of committing a sin. Of the catastrophes of the evils of committing a sin is that sins diminish our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman goes down when we commit sins. Our faith in Allah, our religiosity, it goes down. Of the problems of committing sins is that sins pollute the heart and make it hard. And this is exactly what we mentioned in the first part of our lecture, that through sins, the heart becomes hard. Allah says in the Quran, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When they went astray, Allah led their hearts astray. When they went astray, their hearts were punished because of their sins. And Allah says in the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Their hearts have become dark because of what they have done. Their hearts have become polluted and rusted because of what they have done. Of the effects of committing sins is that sins remove the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us and shall give us. Our current blessings and future blessings are lifted because of sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we all know this verse, Allah does not change the situation of a people until they change what is in themselves. No blessing is taken away from you except because of a sin that you have done. Allah says so in the Quran, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Any problem that comes to you, it's because of your own sins that you have done. Every single grief, every single anxiety, every single distress, know, my dear brothers and sisters, that next time you feel physical or mental pain or anguish, it is because of what I have done and you have done. Of the effects of sins is that sins collectively affect the ummah and weaken the ummah. Because what is the ummah except me and you? What is the ummah except all of us here? What is the ummah except a building composed of individuals, and we are those individuals? Is this not what our Prophet ﷺ said? That the ummah is like a brick wall and it strengthens one another? يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. And he put his fingers between his hands to show that. The ummah is like a wall and we make each other stronger. Well, guess what? If the bricks that were used for that wall are not strong, if me and you are not strong, what's going to happen? The wall will collapse. The wall will not stand on its own. Wake up and smell the coffee. Look at the status of the ummah. See what's happening. And then don't blame the ummah. Blame me and blame yourselves. Because we are that ummah. When I am weak and you are weak, collectively the ummah will collapse. And unfortunately, that is the reality that we are seeing. And the last point that we'll mention, and of course there's much more to mention, and I have to leave on a negative note because we're waiting for the positive, inshallah, the next hour. I'm supposed to give you the solution, but they didn't tell me to give you the solution. They told me to mention the problems. So I'm going to mention the problems. But the last point that I'll mention, and this is really the theme of the talk itself, one of the worst consequences of sins is the feeling of despair, the feeling of lack of purpose. There's just no point. There's a disconnect that takes place between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we commit sins. And when we have that disconnection, what happens? We just feel life is not worth living. There's no point. So what? You don't enjoy even the sins. Stop being pleasurable. Stop giving you that joy. And let me be very frank here, brothers and sisters. Let me be very honest here. Every single one of us sitting here, myself included, every one of us in this audience, we know this reality without having need to be taught it from the Quran and Sunnah. We know it from the lives that we live. We know it from our own sins. How do we feel after we commit a sin? How do we feel after we watch something we're not supposed to watch? We talk to someone we're not supposed to talk to. We do something we're not supposed to do. We smoke something we're not supposed to smoke. We drink something we're not supposed to drink. We get involved in an issue that we know our Lord has told us is harmful for our deen and our dunya, for our religion and our akhirah. How do we feel after we commit that deed? Yes, we feel good for a little bit of time. That's why we do it. Yes, we get a little bit of high, sometimes an actual high, astaghfirullah. Yes, we do. But what happens after that? What happens after that instantaneous, fleeting joy? You feel so filthy that all the water in the world can't purify you. You feel so guilty that you really just don't feel like you have a purpose in life. You regret. You say, why did I do that? What was the point? Now what am I going to do? And that feeling of despair is perhaps the most palpable consequence of committing a sin. That feeling of purposelessness, of not having a goal. You feel as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have lost a connection because you have lost a connection. But you're the one who unplugged it. You're the one who took it out. You're the one who cut that wire, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're the one who turned your back to the Sharia, to the Quran, to what our Prophet said, and you willingly, purposefully, knowingly disobeyed. Well, then now you're going to suffer the consequences. And of those consequences is that feeling of regret, that feeling of despair. And that feeling of despair, this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who forgot about Allah. Now pause here. Who forgets about Allah as a Muslim? The meaning of forget about Allah doesn't mean you don't know who is Allah. The meaning is you forgot about the commandments of Allah. The meaning is you forgot about your purpose of life. Do not be like those who forgot about Allah. What happens when you forget about Allah? فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah caused them to forget themselves. This is one of the most profound verses in the Quran. Pay attention to the profundity. Pay attention to the causality. When you forget about Allah, Allah causes you to forget about yourself. Now, what does that mean? How can you forget about yourself? After all, was it not yourself and your selfish desires that caused you to forget about Allah? In other words, what caused you to disobey Allah except your selfishness, except yourself? And yet Allah is saying, when you forget about Allah, you forget yourself. You see, the meaning here is far more profound. The meaning here, when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have no purpose of living. You forget your real life. You forget your qalb and your ruh. You forget why you are on this earth. You might as well forget about yourself. Whoever turns away from Allah, Allah punishes that person by causing a despair and a helplessness. There's no point in living anymore. And the opposite is also true. Whoever discovers Allah discovers life. Whoever discovers Allah, whoever knows Allah, whoever worships Allah, whoever remembers Allah, that is the one who brings about the life of the heart. And I conclude with a beautiful verse, a beautiful point of our religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, that is the one who shall have a miserable, a wretched life. Ma'ishatan dhanka means, dhank literally means a constricted. Dhank means you are shoved between two things. And that's how you feel when you're under pressure. When you're anxious, your heart feels tense. You could physically feel a pain in your chest. And Allah says, when you turn away from Allah, you get this feeling of despair and anxiety and helplessness. And of course the solution, and I can't go into the depth in the solution of course is the doors of Allah are always open. The solution of course is all you have to do is turn around. That's all you have to do. No matter how far you've gotten in sin, no matter how far you've fallen in the despair, when you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will accept you. Allah will pull you out from wherever you are. And that is why Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. No one can give up despair of Allah's mercy except the kafir who doesn't know who is Allah. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. No one can ever give up hope of Allah's mercy except the one who doesn't know who is Allah except for the kafir. Brothers and sisters in Islam, inshallah, none of us is a kafir. All of us are Muslims. Muslims are always hopeful of Allah's mercy. Muslims are always optimistic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us what we want in this world and the next. Therefore, don't despair of the mercy of Allah. The verse that was recited before we began our lecture, our brother recited from the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Say, O my servants who have committed sins, who have wronged themselves, do not give up hope of Allah's mercy. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Never despair of Allah's mercy. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. I conclude with a beautiful hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْبَرُ الْكَبَائِرِ, the biggest of all sins. Notice, these are not trivial sins. The biggest of all sins, أَكْبَرُ الْكَبَائِرِ. Number one, to do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, to give up hope of Allah's mercy. And number three, to despair of Allah's blessings. To give up hope of Allah's mercy and to despair of Allah's blessings. This is the greatest sin that is put alongside the sin of shirk. The Muslim never despairs. But when you turn to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who constantly turn to Allah, who always have a relationship with Him, who taste the sweetness of worship, who taste the sweetness of ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who always have a direct connection with Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hearts soft for His cause. And we seek Allah's refuge from having hard hearts. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.